Join me in the call to worship this morning. O Lord, our Lord,
how majestic is thy name in all the earth.
Your glory above the heavens is chanted by the mouth of babes and infants.
You have set up a defense against your foes to still the enemy and the avenger.
When I look at the heavens, you work the work of your fingers.
The moon and the stars which you have established.
What are the human beings that you are mindful of them?
And mortals that you care for them.
Let you have made them a little less than God.
And crown them with glory and honor.
You have given them dominion over the works of your hands.
You have put all things under their feet.
All sheep and oxen.
And also the beasts of the field.
The birds of the air and the fish of the sea.
Whatever passes along the paths of the seas.
O Lord, our God,
How majestic is your name in all the earth.
Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, and then we shoot ahead up to 22 through 31. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroad, she takes her stand. Besides the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. The Lord created me at the beginning of His work, the first of His acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there was no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When He had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soils, when He established the heavens, I was there. When He drew a circle on the face of the deep, when He made the skies above, when He established the fountains of the deep, when He assigned to the sea its limits, so that the waters might not transgress His command, when He marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside Him. Like a master worker, I was daily in His delight, rejoicing before Him, rejoicing in His inhabited world, and delighting in the human race." The New Testament reading this morning is from Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us."
Devoting ourselves to prayer to God and for one another, and we begin by sharing our joys and concerns with one another.
Gospel reading comes from John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. "I still have many things to say to you, but I cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own, but will speak whatever He hears, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, because He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. For this reason I said that He will take what is Mine and I declare it to you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen.
This is the word of God for we, the people of God. Let us say, thanks be to God. Well, I know it's almost Memorial Day, but as I was preparing for the sermon this week, an illustration came to mind that you all might relate with. But how many of you like the beloved classic Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas? Remember the climactic scene in that movie where he begins to change, he experiences that catharsis, that change in character and being, to where he no longer is just the Grinch, but he realizes that he cares about other people. And as the sled with all the toys and his beloved dog, his only friend, was about to go off the cliff, something inside of him changes. And his heart grows 10 times the size. And he has this superhuman strength and lifts it up above his head because he's filled with such love, peace, and joy that he's never known. And he brings back and comes to bring them back their presents, and they're already singing unified around the tree, Bahu Bore, Bahu Bore, welcome Christmas. But that's a good picture of what it looks like when God's love is poured into your heart and our hearts. Just like in the example that we had in the children's message, you know, when we experience the love of God through human beings or through our loved ones, the best way we can love as a human being, it kind of overflows a little bit. But when the holy, pure love of God is shed abroad in our hearts or poured into our hearts through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is God. As he says, it was an exothermic reaction. Can't be contained. Can't be controlled. But it's also an endothermic reaction. Exo means on the outside. An endothermic reaction. Like what John Wesley experienced at Aldersgate when his heart was strangely warmed on the inside, that he was assured of God's love for him, even though he was a sinner. That while we are sinners, yet Christ died for us. This proves God's love for us. See, God's love is poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The Holy Spirit, whom we can't earn, whom we can't coax, whom we can't coerce, whom we can't cajole. But the Holy Spirit, whom can only be received as a gift and as personal in relationship with God. Just as God is in a holy and pure communion relationship as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is no selfishness to God. It's always in communion. You can't talk about Jesus without talking about the Father. And the relationship between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. That is the love that God has for the Father. When Jesus is called beloved, it is the Holy Spirit speaking through the Father. The Holy Spirit rests upon Jesus. In our Bible study this week, we learned about how the Holy Spirit has a proclivity to rest upon the flesh, upon human beings. That the Holy Spirit is not just ethereal and disembodied, but the Holy Spirit is embodied. That there is no incarnation, there is no the Word became flesh and dwelled among us without the Holy Spirit. To talk about incarnation or to be the hands and feet of Jesus is to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit through whom God poured out His holy love into our hearts, into our fragile, stony hearts, and makes them into hearts of flesh that feel and are moved and are molded, that are moved by compassion so that we can feel sorry with people and not just sorry for them, that moves us to not be afraid to grieve with our loved ones and our friends and our neighbors who are grieving, that moves us to humble ourselves and to say, I'm sorry, I hurt you, I was wrong, I messed up, please forgive me. This love that has been poured into our hearts is also connected, as we heard earlier in Romans, to hope. To hope. To hope in the present for the future, of hope. And this hope, as we heard, is because we're justified by faith, as we see in Romans 5:1. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But we boast, he says, in our sufferings. We boast in our hardships. We boast in our failures. We boast in our disappointments. Even when our prayers aren't answered in the way we might want them or the timing. We boast when people mock us or think we're fools because we're Christians. We boast in our sufferings, knowing that this suffering has a purpose. It produces endurance or patience. The word in the Greek has this interesting meaning that means tested and approved. This tested and approvedness, that this endurance, and this endurance produces character, a tested and approved character. It shows what we're really made of as human beings created in God's image. That we are not just defined by our performance, but we're defined by our personhood. That our identity is not just in what we do, but in who we are and whose we are. That God's love redefines us. And this character, it says, produces hope. That just by being who we are, despite our circumstances, who we are in Christ as a new creation, it produces hope. A hope that does not disappoint us. A hope that we can trust in and rely on. A hope and a faith and a peace and a love and a joy that money cannot buy. And this hope does not disappoint us. Why? Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. It's been poured out into our hearts. Because Jesus promised that the Spirit of truth will guide us into all truth. Will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears from the Father. And will declare to you and I the things that are to come. This hope that does not disappoint us. And the Holy Spirit is always bringing glory to Jesus because he took what was his, the love that was poured out into his heart from God the Father through the Holy Spirit. And now we receive that same love because Jesus is with the Father in heaven and prays for us to be filled with his Holy Spirit, to be full of holy love, to the point where we are loving so much by God and for others that we cannot sin at times. Can you imagine living a day in your life and not sinning, but being guided and overflowing with love and gratitude and peace and joy? That no matter what happens, you know that you are safe and secure because God loves you. And you know that God loves you so much that the things that used to offend you don't even offend you anymore. That you can love someone for who they are and not what they've done. That you can see them as someone just like you who's a sinner that Christ died for and God loves. Yes, friends. We have been given this great gift of God's love. And in the New Testament, this word for poured out, it's not just pouring out like you pour out water, but it's also used in the language of shedding blood. That Jesus poured out his life for us. He gave out his life for us, to the shedding of all of his blood for us. His blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness when we confess our sins to God. And we too, when we pour out ourselves and our life and our energy in living in a way like Erica lived, and how she was always concerned about other people. She wasn't looking for credit. She just wanted to bless people and to share God's love with them in the way that she knew how. And another way that the New Testament talks about this being poured out is when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church at Pentecost. Poured out into our hearts. We don't just receive God's holy love, but God's holy love who is the Holy Spirit. To where we can lack nothing that we need in order to love others and to grow in our love for God. That it's the Holy Spirit who helps us to be the beloved just like Jesus is the beloved. That all the things that God says about Jesus as his son, he can say about you and I. That he's well pleased with you through the Holy Spirit's work in your life. So friends, I hope today you are encouraged. And I hope that this overflowing love of God will move you, not just to a feeling of being loved, but to move you into action of being love. To being love in this world. Love for God and love for one another. Because our world is hurting. The United Methodist Church is hurting. Our nation is hurting. And we have people in our community who are hurting. And who need the healing power of God's holy love and forgiveness. So that they can change their hearts and minds like we are. And can be open to God's love. And can become love as Christ has loved us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. So let us profess this love for God as we stand together and we proclaim. May you go filled with the overflowing love of God through the Holy Spirit to connect people with Jesus Christ in all that you say and do and all that you are. Go in the Father's love. Amen.